now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to Shout Out. I'm Andy Thomas.
And I'm Steffi Barnett. And today on the show...
If you're an actor, do you have to play the sexuality of the person you're portraying? Well, Mark Jeffrey will be here to talk about it.
And what would it like be like to link 7 other people and share their experiences and abilities? Well, we'll be talking about Netflix series Sense8.
And Shout Out After Dark is back. We'll tell you all about that. All coming today right here on the show. Hello, one and all. Hello, Lucy.
Hello, Andy.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Hello, Steffi.
Hello, Steffi.
Hello, I can't talk because it's me doing the music.
Is that you? That's you. Is that you every week?
Yeah, there's no instruments.
Wow.
Yeah.
You are a woman of many talents.
I'd heard that.
You do know there is going to be a jingle of all these. Every time someone here sings, I make a note of it and go and pull it out to make a jingle. I just haven't got around to making the jingle yet. So
the end of my radio.
Now,
career.
Guess what? Shout Out After Dark is back.
Ah, mm-hmm. I heard. Yes.
We recorded it at the weekend. It was really good fun, actually.
Oh, you've done it?
Yeah, we've done it. It's broadcasting next week.
Are you allowed to leak anything at all?
Yes, but we'll save it for the end of the show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Keep people on the edge of their seats.
It's about pride.
Okay.
So if you've been to Pride recently and have no idea where it all came from or think it's just a big party in the park, then you'll want to listen because we'll tell you about it.
I just thought it was a big party in the park.
That's you, Steph, all over. Just talk about the party.
I'm naive.
So there was that Tokyo one this week, wasn't there? Tokyo, what's it called? It was over at Eastfield Park. It caused absolute chaos by IKEA.
Did you both see the big LGBT event in China?
No, I didn't. No.
Oh, with the guy who got down on one knee. Yeah, that's really sweet.
On a metro tube, or I don't know, was it the underground?
Yeah, it was the underground, I think, wasn't it? Yeah.
Got down on his knees. There was a few boos and hisses.
Proposed, but the overwhelming majority
went viral.
Unfortunately, the law over there means they can't get married at the moment, but it was really sweet. Yeah.
Whereas, here I think the Tokyo Festival in Eastville resulted in a load of people on a train from Redland just getting off and walking along the track. Did anybody else see that story?
Is that what it was? I saw the story. I didn't realise that was what it was
tied
to.
That's the festival they were all going to go see.
Okay. And they just got off and walked.
That's two prides, opposite sides of the world, both linked by public transport.
Nice. There was a
that
link.
Is tenuous, and I've just made it.
Yeah, well, there was an awful lot came out in the After Dark recording that we did, it was fascinating because we were very privileged to be joined by some people who remember pre-Pride, in the days way before it was even called Pride, pre-Stonewall, and we were able to talk to them about it and how it all started.
Is that before there was gay people?
There was a time before gay people. No, this is in Russia. Hasn't he just declared that there's no problem because there's no one gay or something?
No, he loves gay people now. Russia is supposedly LGBT friendly, according to Putin.
This week.
Yes, way to go, Russia. Maybe not, but
fair enough.
One minute, friends of LGBT people, the next minute, bombing Syria.
It was odd because they had Tattoo, didn't they, who then became pretend lesbians.
Yeah, but they were never lesbians. Oh, come on. No? I mean, don't get me wrong, we were all very happy when we saw a music video that involved pretty girls possibly being a bit
naughty.
Lesbian towards each other.
Speak for yourself, it didn't do much for me.
No way, Andy, really? I'm surprised.
Yeah, but you're weird.
I'm surprised.
Yeah, you like men, don't you?
Yeah, does that make me weird, does it?
Well, it puts you in the minority in this room, so.
Well, yes, yeah, with the two of you, yeah. So, right, okay, let's get some events. So, I have absolutely no idea what we're talking about this week. I forgot to ask you beforehand.
We're talking about two events this week. And the first thing I'm going to talk about is happening next Friday on the 9th of October.
Right.
And it's for, you know, maybe new arrivals to Bristol, maybe people who are just taking their first tentative steps into the LGBT world, maybe people who want to broaden their network or their social network in that kind of way.
Right.
All these things are going to be catered for Friday, 9th of October at Zion, Bristol, which is down in Bishopsworth.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, it's going to be the LGBT and Friends Night, part of Diversity Month, because, of course, we had Diversity Week last week, but we're also still in Diversity Month.
Oh, and, it's got bigger.
There's a week and a month.
Still going. So, yeah, social event for all lesbian, gay, bisexual and transgender people living within South Bristol and their straight friends. So get on down there.
Bristol?
I don't think you just...
I live in North Bristol.
So do I.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. Yeah, so do I, actually. Right, okay. I think anyone can go. They're not going to be asking for proof of address or two forms of proof of address or anything like that. So I would go there. It's being supported by LGBT Bristol and also Indigo, who lesbian social networking, they do big social networking scene, members being the gay men's equivalent. So, yeah, go down there. It's free. It's friendly. The bar's going to be open all evening. There is going to be live music. Kick-ass funk band called the Funkensteins.
Oh, we've had them on the show, Funkensteins, yeah.
I can just never surprise you, can I? No. Everything I come up with.
We haven't spoken to them in about 5 years. They were one of our first ever guests, through memory. But yeah, they were very fun.
Oh, right. Well, hey, they'll be playing next Friday. Yeah. Doors open at 7:30. They will be, I've been to a couple of Indigo nights and they do make an effort to make you feel welcome. And so, yeah, just turn up and people will say hello.
Fab.
Yeah, cool. That's the first event. And the second event is not for a month. So why am I telling you about it?
I was going to say, yeah.
Because it's important.
It's important. Bristol Pride Gala Ball is being held on the 31st of October, Halloween, Saturday 31st of October. First ever Bristol Pride Gala Ball. And the point is to showcase some of the great work and people of Bristol while celebrating Pride, community and also Halloween, which is always a big thing in the city centre of Bristol.
It's quite a posh affair as well, isn't it?
Yes, it really is. It's a costume, a three-course meal. There's going to be an awards ceremony and there'll be a special masquerade ball and it's going to be in the Marriott Royal College Green, so pretty wanky do.
I think tickets are quite expensive, aren't they?
Yes,
is it £45 quid they start on?
Yeah, well, it's £45 for a single ticket and £400 for a table of 10. £470 for a table of 10 with four bottles of wine. The details are all at pridebristol.co.uk/gala. But yeah, it's a ticketed event, which is why we're mentioning it now, because it's maybe something you want to plan ahead for if you fancy dressing up.
You say £47 quid for a three-course meal, isn't it that expensive?
Not in a hotel like,
no.
Like that.
No, this is true. It's something like the Marriott. No. It's probably going to be a pretty good standard. And then
If I know, then a certain percentage of that's going to Pride as well. So.
Yeah, absolutely. There's going to be some awards. It seems like they took a leaf from the shout-out book, and they're going to be giving awards for Best Local Business, LGBT Staff Network, Bar, Restaurant. All the awards are up there. So you can also vote as well as buying your ticket, and the awards will be given out on the night.
Cool.
Can I just add
a quickie? Set your reminder, Channel 4, Tuesday the 6th of October, 10 p.m, My Transgender Kid.
I've heard about that. It's supposed to be very good as well.
So going out and staying in, all covered, thanks to Steph. she's my radio guru, and
she just stays in.
She's taught me all I know.
And all that stuff you mentioned is on the Shoutout website.
It is.
Cool. Brilliant. Thank you very much, Lucy.
No problem. Hi, this is Lucy Spraggan, and you're listening to Shout Out Radio.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
And that's Broken Arrows by Avicii. Brand new out. I know, I'm being really naughty. I played Avicii last week. I try not to play them both in a row, but that's been drip fed from the album that's coming out soon. I'm on with Steph this week. She likes the dancey ones.
Have another one next week. Do you play the whole album?
Well, it depends if they release one and if it's any good, to be honest, really. So, now, have you ever been an actor in your life? Have you ever acted on stage or anything? Have you done Amdram, as they call it?
Well, the closest I've got is to having thespians on the Monday show.
Thespians.
We get hit by thespians a lot on the Monday morning show.
Do you still use the term thespians these days?
Not so much, actually. I mean, maybe in a playful way, but no, we don't usually refer to one another
our
as thespians.
Our show's pretty near the knuckle. We always expect to have the sack and not ever come back again.
Okay. Anyway, very well welcome to Shout Out to Mark Jeffrey. Welcome along.
Hello.
Give us an idea, because you are a professional actor, aren't you?
I am, among many other things, but yes, I was reading
other things. You've even been in EastEnders, that must be
great. That was my first telly job out of theatre school, actually. I was like a rabbit in the headlights. It was terrifying walking around the stage and the sets there, looking at all these rooms and things that I'd recognise.
What about your accent? Did you do an EastEnders accent?
No, I was a copper.
It didn't matter, so no, it was neutral.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. No, it didn't really matter. It was only one episode, but...
Before we get to that, give us an idea. Were you a kid when you got into acting? How did it all begin?
I used to dance. I trained as a dancer when I was a kid, but always kind of wanted somehow to become an actor. Didn't. Yeah. Ended up running pubs and restaurants for about 10 years.
Did you not even do like Amdram or anything like that then?
No, I did youth theatre, but it was mainly musicals, and mainly because I can sing and dance. I'd never been in a play until I decided to become an actor when I was 30.
So
I've never done a play at all. So
quite a break from dancing until you actually went into acting then.
Well, that's it. I ran pubs and restaurants for 10 years. That was my sort of job through my 20s, really.
Some would say that that's a bit of acting, depending on the clientele at the time.
It is, and you meet a heck of a lot of characters.
What made you jump? That's quite a career change, isn't it?
Well, I had a bit of a breakdown, to be honest, I spent about 18 months not really engaging with anything and not enjoying life and living in a caravan in my mum's garden. And I came out the other side and thought, right, what do I want to do? And I've always wanted to become an actor, so I was like, right, let's try and make it happen. And 11 years later, here I am doing it.
I know you're doing something to help people with the transition from kind of like Amdram through to the professional, which we'll come on to a little bit later. But tell us your story. How did you go about becoming a professional actor from when you decided? It's not easy, is it?
No, it isn't. And there was no great sort of master plan or anything like that. It just kind of happened. I was going to go and do an English degree, weirdly, because the university in Sheffield where I was living had a good drama department. A friend of mine, 2 weeks before I was due to start this English degree, said, no, you should go and do a college course. So I got in touch with the college, went and met the lady who ran it, Jo Beadle, and she sat down and interviewed me and said, right, I'm full, but I'll offer you a place because I think you'll be great. And so I ended up doing a 2-year BTEC with a load of 16-year-olds, and I was 30 at the time. it was one of the most incredible experiences. I mean, these people, I wouldn't call them kids, but these young adults, and they've got so much energy and enthusiasm. It's so hard not to get caught up in that.
Was this in English, or was this?
No, this was in drama. This was a BTEC in drama at Norton College in Sheffield. And Jo Beadle, who run the course, she had worked as an actor, and she trained here at the Bristol Old Vic many, many moons ago. And when it was coming to applying, everybody was applying for through UCAS for university degrees, which is what I thought my next step would be. She said, no, young man, you need to go to theatre school. And she gave me prospectuses for the Old Vic, RADA, Lambda, Guildhall, and said, you apply to those. And so I did. I got a place at the Old Vic and came. That's what brought me to Bristol in 2006. Yeah, I trained at Bristol for 2 years, and then went off into the big wide world.
It's got quite a history behind it, the Old Vic, hasn't it?
It's such a prestigious place, opened by Sir Laurence Olivier. These connections with the Theatre Royal here in Bristol itself, and an incredible alumni. If you go and look back, and not just looking back, the talent that the school is giving to the profession now is extraordinary. Some of the young actors that are coming through are fantastic. You've seen several of them here now recently in things like Pink Mist. There's one or two of them coming up at the Bristol Old Vic in the new production of The Crucible. There's some serious talent coming through that school, and I'm very proud to have been a part of it, really.
Do you find it richer in the Bristol area from where you come from?
I come from Yorkshire originally. I've not lived in Yorkshire for a long time. Right. I moved to London after I finished the theatre school, like every actor does, thinking that's where you've got to be.
Well, that was going to be my first assumption, I'm assuming, because that's where where all the big theatres are, isn't it? Is it the home of acting in the UK?
Or? I think there was a time where, yes, if I think you had... It was supposed that in order to be an actor, you had to live in London, but I don't believe that's the case anymore. And a lot of actors are starting to make their home elsewhere. Of course, there'll always be a concentration of actors and directors and what have you in London, because that is... It's so creative and it's so busy, but it's... For me, when I was there, and when I left after 3.5 years, a big part of my decision was quality of life, and it was I like Bristol and I have a better quality of life here. I work constantly. Whether it be here in Bristol or off anywhere else. But when I was living in London, the work I was getting would often take me away from London anyway. So right. I'd be off in some other city for 3 months doing a play and paying rent on an expensive flat in London and thinking, why am I doing this?
not
you
there.
You sound like quite a workaholic. How much are you actually cramming in at the moment?
A lot. There's a lot going on at the minute. I'm currently, during the day, rehearsing a little piece called Anton's Shorts, which is a collection of Anton Chekhov's short stories, which has been adapted by a local writer, Charles Thompson. And that opens next week. As soon as that opens, I start rehearsing. This is a director, by the way, not as an actor. As soon as Anton's Shorts opens, I start rehearsing another play called The Bedminster Bigfoot, which is written by another local writer, Mark Brecken. We rehearse that, and then with the same actors that are in the Chekhov, does that make sense? It's almost like a mini rep season that I've got going. It's kind of...
Do I take it from the name that it's about a Bigfoot in Bedminster?
Well, yeah, come and watch it. It's at the Alma Tavern. It's at the Alma Tavern, 20th to the 31st of October.
Can I ask you what you prefer doing? Acting or directing?
Gosh. Do you know what? I like them both. And I'm learning... I'm learning both still, but I'm... Acting I've been doing for a little bit longer, since 2008 when I graduated, and so I love that, but the directing that I've been doing over the last sort of year, 18 months, which is only when it's begun really, I'm learning so much every single day, and I find the whole thing fascinating. It's stressful, it's horrible. You're in many respects, you're responsible for people and making something, and it's terrifying, but I'm learning so much, and I'm waffling now because people ask me this question and I can never answer it because I honestly don't know, and I don't think I've reached that point where I have to make a decision which one I prefer.
You can do both.
Do you know what I mean? At the moment I'm really happy just playing and doing both of them and learning every day.
You don't have to ever decide, surely. Who knows?
I mean,
there's a lot of people who swing both ways.
There are, and I have no problem with that whatsoever. I do honestly, truly consider myself incredibly lucky, and the opportunities that have been given me to explore directing now, I'm just grabbing everything with both hands and running with it.
How do you get that big break, as they call it? How did you get your first big break? I mean, because it says here you've been on EastEnders and you've been on stage at the Old Vic. You've done some amazing things. You were even in The Lost Honour of Christopher Jeffreys, which of course was all about the
murder.
The murder of Joanna Yates. Yeah. Yes.
I mean, how did you get that first big break? Do you remember?
Big break. I don't know what that means. I mean, these are jobs. I I'm very lucky to be part of it. I have to audition like everybody else for these things, you know. And my agent.
But it must
be
great when you pick up the phone and they say, "Yes, we'd like you to be on EastEnders." You know.
Oh no, it is. It's fantastic. I mean, I was just absolutely thrilled and terrified all at the same time. The most exciting part is when you get your call from your agent saying yes, they want you, and then the rest is downhill from there because then you've got to start work. But it's that moment of yes, somebody wants me, and each one is exciting for very different reasons. I love television. I want to do more of it. I don't have that much experience really, but it's a different discipline. I've just recently spent a few days filming Doctors, which my episodes will air in November.
Right.
And I just love the process. Again, it's about learning for me.
TV is also quite stop start, isn't it? If something goes wrong, you can stop and go and record. Obviously, not when it's live.
And you know
if you're on the stage at a theatre, you can't.
No, you can't. And with television, what I've found, I mean, certainly the roles that I've played so far, it's not about me. It's got nothing really to do with me because you've got 30-odd people standing around, cameramen, makeup artists, wardrobe people, continuity people, sound guys, light guys, DOP. It's all of these people, and it's really not about you. And that is that I find quite fascinating. Whereas theatre, of course, like you've just said, one, you can't stop. You've just got to keep going. But it's everybody's focus. All those people sitting out there that have paid their money to come and watch, they're focused on you. What what you're doing.
Forgive me for asking this, we have spoke before, so I'm not putting you on the spot by asking you this, but of course it's been huge in the press recently, especially with things coming to light with trans issues, and people are more aware in general about LGBT equality. But one of the things that's hit the headlines quite recently is all this, if the party is for a gay person or a trans person, then it should be a gay person or a trans person playing that part. I don't know that I necessarily agree with it, but what would be your take on that? Is that important, or is it more about the ability to play the part, whatever your gender or persuasion?
I would never say should play a part. I mean, I think that the progress that's been made, and forgive me if my language isn't necessarily the correct language, but I think the progress that's been made in recent times with programs like Orange is the New Black, for example, when you have a trans actor, actor, we don't use the word actor and actress anymore,
it's just actor. Isn't it?
In Orange is the New Black, you have Laverne Cox,
yeah.
And more recently Sense8, where you have a trans director and a trans actor in this program, Lana Wachowski, who's the trans director, and Jamie Clayton, who's the actor in that program. You have a British one, which I haven't seen, but I've talked to a couple of people about this, Boy Meets Girl, Rebecca Root playing a character called Judy, which again was part of a writing project to try and highlight trans issues and introduce more work for trans people.
But then you've also got things like Transparent, where the lead guy, he's just won several Emmys.
He is, and why not?
He's not trans.
Exactly. But it's raising the profile, regardless. Yeah. And I know there are some people who say, no, it must be. And I don't buy into that. I think, why shouldn't it be a man who's married with children, whatever, play? He's an actor. This is our job. I mean, I'm a gay man. I'm an actor, but...
So then the easiest question, how many gay parts have you played
in your life? I think two. In what, 8 years now? If I was only allowed to play, you know, if there was this kind of rule somehow that it was social pressure that only gay actors could play gay parts and so on and so forth, then I would never bloody work, or I'd barely ever work. So, but I think what we should focus on is the progress that has been made through writing and production companies that are creating more work for trans actors. I mean, you know,
it's very nice to see it coming about. I mean, we've had things like Match with Patrick Stewart was quite a very poignant kind of play, and also then became a film. And we've also more recently had the 52 Tuesdays, that's what I'm thinking of, which has been highly acclaimed, which is all about it. It's great that there's more coming out. But yeah, I think I agree with you. I think it's more about the portrayal, not necessarily, you know...
I didn't think personally that there was anything wrong with Transparent. I thought that fitted quite well.
No,
a trans person is in various stages of body. There's pre, there's floating, and there's post. So
in Orange is the New Black, in the beginning, Laverne Cox's own brother plays her part pre-transition, which you'd have never have known.
No.
They could have actually genuinely filmed her before her transition. It was that well done.
Or they could have just given her some masculine makeup
and so on.
We're rapidly running out of time, but I want to ask you about what you're up to coming up, because I know you've got something fantastic coming up for Christmas as well, I believe.
I do, yeah. And I've run Anton Shorts, which opens next week. That's from the 16th to the 17th of October at the Alma Tavern up in Clifton. That's the collection of Chekhov short stories. Immediately after that, we've got Bedminster Bigfoot, which is the 20th to the 31st of October, again at the Alma Tavern Theatre. We've got a site-specific piece called Drum, which is a collection of poetry put together by a wonderful lady called Julie Nicholson, who some of your listeners may be familiar with. She wrote a book called A Song for Jenny, which was recently dramatised by the BBC. That's going to... at Cotton Parish Church from the 4th to the 14th of November, and a project that I'm sort of currently developing. We've booked a little space again up at the Alma Tavern because I love it up there. It's Cinderella, the Sillit Bang Years, and that's from the 15th to the 19th of December.
Of course.
And this is my company, Tucson Tack Theatre, which I very recently launched, which is helping adults who access mental health service make the leap from community theatre to professional theatre. So I'm putting these people, these actors and writers and what have you, into a professional working environment. environment, the kind of working environment that I face in my everyday working life.
Are you being sponsored by Sillit Bang?
We've just got funding from the Mayor's Fund here in Bristol, and I do have some funding which I'm not allowed to announce until the 13th of October, which is really painful. But it's going. Well, I'm really pleased that the funding applications that I've been completing are actually coming back, and we're getting the money.
Well,
we're
going to have to get you back on at some point.
That would be great. Thank
about
you very
the work
much.
That you're doing with, especially with people with mental health stuff.
I would love to, because it's really important to me. Very, very important to me. So I'd love to come back.
We'll make sure that we put. What's your website, by the way? I haven't asked yet.
You can find me on Twitter, Mark_Jeffrey. That's Mark with a C, GEOFFREY, and ToussinTacTheatre.com. ToussinTacTac.
Cool.
A thousand thank yous.
We'll make sure we put the link to that up on our website as well. So if you missed half of those events or one of them sounded interesting, you want to find out more about it, we'll make sure that you can get the link via our website as well.
But thank you
so much for coming in to talk to us. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you.
Now, stay with us. You're listening to Shout Out. We'll be back in a minute when the news team will be filling you in on what's going on in the world.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Has the writing's on the
wall. Sam Smith.
And Steph.
Oh, Steph. You should go for the next one next year, Steph, definitely, for sure.
So that's the new Bond theme, making it what
Bond,
you will. Apparently it grows on you.
It's a grower, not a shower, that's the thing.
I really like Sam Smith, I'm not going to rise, I'm not going to take the bait. I really like Sam Smith, and I'm still a bit mixed about that one, but I loved the Adele one that was, I think it was the last one, wasn't it?
Well, everybody slated the Adele one when that came out, and now everybody thinks it's a classic. Yeah. So I think that's exactly what's going to happen to Sam's little number.
Bring back Shirley Bassey.
Oh, gosh, yes.
Dame Shirley.
Gosh.
Can we get her in as well?
Oh, I wish. She has done Glastonbury, actually, so she has been close.
Oh, yeah, she had her Wellington boots
yeah,
on,
she did, didn't she? Yes.
Yes.
Very
bright.
Remember
that.
So anyway, right, let's get some news headlines.
This is Shoutout News on Thursday, the 1st of October.
Former Gaydar radio presenter Jamie Crick is to present the prestigious breakfast show on the dedicated jazz funk channel Jazz FM. Jamie was on Gaydar station when it was the most popular gay and trans channel in the United Kingdom, playing dance, music and gay pop. Since then, he's gone on to some of the big guns in broadcasting and has just finished the afternoon show on Classic FM. He takes over the breakfast slot in October on the station, which is due to become a national DAB service in 2016.
The Atheist Web has been buzzing this week after the campaigning website care2cause.com reported that a preschool teacher in Oklahoma had branded a child evil for being left-handed. The bizarre act of discrimination has once again focused attention on the activities of fundamentalist stripes of Christianity in the US, which also advocate discrimination against gay and transgender youth. Left-handed people, like LGBT folk, have historically experienced discrimination based on superstitious fears. Left-handedness was considered in the Middle Ages to be a sign of evil, and in fact the word sinister derives from the Latin for left.
The rapper Azalea Banks may be known to you already for her very public spats with other performers. She's been featured in gay magazines recently after making a number of public remarks interpreted by some as gratuitously homophobic. This week, she was at the centre of another controversy after one of her foul-mouthed tweets said that she wanted to pepper spray a gay man in the face. Ms. Banks's supporters say she's being deliberately provocative, as is required of rappers. Her detractors, however, criticise her, saying that she is using allegations of racism to shut down all discussion about her explicit lyrics and aggressive demeanour.
Gay newswire Pink News has had some criticism in the week from its many commentators for reporting on the outbursts of an anti-gay woman who quit the UK Independence Party because it had what she called too many gay and trans members. The woman, called Julia Gaspar, stood instead for the far-right faction, the English Democrats, a small party which has policies on compulsory heterosexuality built in. Gaspar had a long-running feud with the newswire, which erupted again this week. Her critics say that her infantile insistence on misnaming the news service Puke News may show that she is in need of psychiatric care.
The Jewish Chronicle newspaper says that the new scholar in residence at Hampstead Synagogue is Dina Brower, whose appointment is significant as she represents a pan-national group called the Jewish Orthodox Feminine Alliance and is working to change Orthodox Judaism with a message of gender equality. Dina is also set to become the first woman from Britain to graduate from a new Orthodox women's ordination program in the USA, having enrolled as a student last year.
Matt Damon has clarified his comments on gay and lesbian actors after a media storm in which other professionals criticised his remarks that appeared to suggest that gay people should remain in the closet. Well, the Metro newspaper reports that Damon spoke to Ellen DeGeneres on US network television and said that all he meant was that sometimes actors should retain an air of mystery about them.
The Arts House Cafe on Stokes Croft in Bristol is hosting a regular political film night called Truth Out Cinema. On Monday evening, the 5th of October, they will screen Love Crimes of Kabul, an intimate portrait of three young Afghani women accused of committing what are termed moral crimes, such as premarital sex and running away from home. The viewing is of value to anyone interested in the sexual and emotional liberation of women in one of the most conservative and repressed societies. For more information, visit the Alternative Bristol website.
Tributes have been paid to Father John J. McNeil, who has died at the age of 90, with his partner of 46 years at his bedside in a Fort Lauderdale hospice. McNeil was a Roman Catholic priest and spent much of his career in the Jesuit order. Like many other priests, McNeil was a gay man, but he broke new ground with his pastoral work with the LGBT Catholic communities. His 1976 book, The Church and the Homosexual, and its successors, including Sex as God Intended, challenged the official Catholic position that same-sex relationships should always be celibate.
And finally, Digital Spy says that the BBC is planning on taking a leaf out of other European broadcasters' book when it comes to choosing the British entry into the Eurovision Song Contest next year. The Royal Muni has not done too well in recent years, and it's been nearly two decades since our trailblazing 1997 winner with Katrina and the Waves. Eurovision hopefuls will be invited to take part in a national final with an X Factor-style twist for the chance to represent the country in Stockholm. The BBC's Eurovision commentator, Graham Norton, thinks the new search for a song element is a great idea. Whatever happens, we want to avoid a repeat of 2003 when we scored nul point.
For these news stories and more, check out our website at shoutoutradio.org.uk.
For Shoutout News, this has been Ivan Jackson
and Terry Starr.
Shout Out News.
National and international LGBT news for you.
Hi, I'm Heather Small and you're listening to Shout Out.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
You're listening to Shout Out live from the home at BCFM, but also on Pirate Nation Radio, Glastonbury FM, Bradley Stoke Radio, and of course Bass Radio. Stay with us. We're going to be talking about Sense8 in a minute.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Keep holding on. I'm the Castle Glee. I've been naughty because that one's for Carl. It used to be our song. I like that one. Oh. I'm allowed to be soppy every now and again, so.
You'll get a big prosy when you get home, I'm sure. Supper made for you.
Oh, I hope not.
You hope not?
No. Oh.
Not good cook then, Carl, yeah?
Oh dear, take away.
No, in fairness, Carl will be the first to turn around and say, no, I can't cook, really. Oh, bless it. He is really sweet, though. He does cook when I've got, like, you know, when I'm, like, putting the show together or something.
Maybe some crumpet.
Or a course of cooking lessons for Christmas.
Yeah, with butter.
Oh, that's an idea.
Yeah, there you go. Sorry, you might have given it away there.
So, anyway, Lucy and Ivan are in the studio with us because we're talking about Sense8.
Yeah.
Which is a new series on Netflix.
It's been out for a while now, but people still trawling through. I think you're still trawling through, aren't you?
Well, no, yeah, I think I've got about three episodes to go. But
anyone remember the Wachowskis? Now, they did The Matrix, and of course, for Lucy, one of Lucy's favourite movies, Bound.
Yes.
Now, they were called the Wachowski brothers, but one of them turned out to be transgender. So she is now transitioned.
They changed their film company name as well.
They're just the Wachowskis now. Yeah. So,
Whereas they used to be the Wachowski brothers,
But they're very, very spiritual. Very spiritual. Because when you look... Well, they did The Matrix.
Yes.
I mean, Banged was quite
straightforward. I don't know what you think. One was great. I wasn't too keen on 2 and 3.
Also, they did Cloud Atlas, another off-the-wall spiritual
movie. But they didn't write that, though, because that was a book, wasn't it?
But they still produced it and then directed it.
So. And it made, and no one had a clue what it was about, really.
Well, I must admit, I did get a little bit confused.
You really had to follow it.
Multiple multiple personalities across multiple time zones, which I think leads quite nicely into
Sense8. And I'm sure that's what was in their heads. Cloud Atlas, Sense8.
And actually, a few of the actors crossover as well.
That might put people... Should we have a listen to the trailer?
Yeah,
I don't think this gives away much, but have a listen.
If you know what it means to be reborn, a sensate.
A what?
But you saw her. But that's just the beginning.
I can feel you.
But you're not really here, are you? You are no longer just you. You will start to feel strange things. Anger and joy and pain. Pleasure without any reason. Have 7 other selves now. You can access each other's knowledge, language, skills. Help me. You will be hunted. There's no more time. You need to run. I'm losing my mind. It's just expanding.
Have any of you felt that you've met a soulmate or you felt a real strong connection to someone? Because this takes that.
I'm married to him.
I was going
to
say, I'm marrying him.
Really?
No, I thought that was a bit too soppy. I'm glad you said that.
That was soppy, and you're a creep.
I'm sorry, Steph. I ruined your moment there. But yes, I understand where you're going with this.
We work together too much on Monday, we ruined our chance moment.
We could be Sense8s, couldn't we?
We could.
So is a premise then, it's 8 people who share experiences and abilities.
They're mentally linked.
But they don't have superpowers or anything, do they?
No, but they can use each other.
Exactly.
Yes. So, you know, for example, one character is an extremely good kickboxer, and she's able to... Well, there's just a fantastic fight scene where there's another character who's a bit surrounded and is able to draw on those kickboxing skills.
She becomes...
That person.
That person. Yeah. Yeah. And takes over.
And the point is, they're also geographically disparate, so they're all over different parts of the world. So they can sort of step into each other's bodies.
8 different nationalities.
Cultures, really.
If I'm asking too much, it gives away, because I haven't seen it, which is quite cool, because it means I can ask you a lot of questions, because all 3 of you have seen it, haven't you?
Yes.
But I'm guessing it starts off, they don't actually know that this is what's going on.
True. Well, they were all born on exactly the same date, which was August the 8th, I think it was.
They're linked.
And
like
so
that.
They're linked.
So 8 8.
So they had these feelings from childhood, but it's only as the series starts and they're adults.
Right.
And I think they're about 30 years old, aren't they?
Yeah. They kind of start having these out-of-body experiences, and they can't explain. They suddenly feel, you know, one moment they're maybe in London, and then the next moment they're in the middle of Iceland or Chicago. Yeah.
Which has been in
Nairobi.
The other one's body.
Exactly. Oh. Yeah. Mm. And then they find they can actually also communicate with each other, but this is something that develops over time. So I'm not going to give too much away.
I think the thing to say, Andy, is that the depiction on the broad spectrum of LGBT personalities and identities and genders, using all the wrong words, but it is just,
we know what you mean. It's
well, you massive. Have a gay couple in Mexico. One, the actor who's not out, his partner is out, who
you
live with a girl.
You have a lesbian couple in San Francisco. One half of them is transgender. Yeah, it's really very, very LGBT friendly.
Yeah, and biracial things going on as
all
well.
That too, loads
in combination
on.
With it's a melting pot for culture.
Do we know what its rating is? Is it 15, 18?
On the basis of one scene, it's
On the basis of the titles, it must be an 18, actually. Yeah, and the titles themselves are a good indication of the content, because like, they are fantastic.
If you don't, if you don't have Netflix, by the way, because this is currently Netflix only, it wouldn't surprise me if it ends up on the way, because they are now starting to share, aren't they, long last?
They do,
But it's Netflix only. There is 30 days you can get free. Obviously, if you don't cancel your subscription, we must warn you, you will get charged. But if you just want to see the trailers, you can see them free on YouTube. That's how I found out what we were going to talk about today, because I'm not on Netflix yet. I'm on Amazon Prime.
You could have 30 days free and then watch it.
I could, but I'm also...
let's hope Netflix aren't listening.
Orange is the New Black is my one. Like, watch
that too. Yeah, I need to doing that. But I mean, I think Ivan's right. It just the introduction title credits are just so diverse and so interesting and so exciting. And
now, you've got some interesting facts that aren't well known, Ivan.
Well, yeah, about those credits, actually, because you see little snippets from all over the globe, lots of different places. But if you remember the series Twin Peaks, which was years ago, it became an absolute cult classic, didn't it, really? There's a little... you can see the Twin Peaks sign there, just up from the Castro, and that was basically a little nod to Twin Peaks, because following the death of Laura Palmer, if you remember the person that died there, they had some sort of psychic connection, so there was a little bit of a connection there going on. And also, now that the lovely man who plays the Chicago cop, and he's Brian J. Smith, he plays part of Bill Gorski, he had a conversation with Lana Wachowski, and she is said to have said that all of the main eight characters, she describe them as pansexual. So if you remember, if you were listening last week, I think Matthew was talking about the difference between bisexuality and pansexuality. What was the little phrase we loved, Lucy?
Heart's not parts. I really liked that. I thought that was lovely.
So you do see these people interact, because they're in and out of each other's bodies as well. You see this kind of whole meltdown, really, I guess, and merging into one. And
it's not confusing when you're watching it, then, because you've got seven people's experience.
Don't take your eyes off it.
It took me a couple of episodes to get into, Andy, but I will tell you, by the end of episode three, not too much of a spoiler, but episode three just ends in just such an utterly awesome way. The action, the direction of it, it's just, you're just edge of your seat and you're like, right, okay, now I'm in. This is it.
And warning, there is a lot of emotional trauma there, especially, well, do you know what, you could say each of the characters goes through a lot of emotional trauma, but especially, I probably say the trans female actor, so she goes through...
It's a far cry from Downton Abbey, or,
It's probably about
shadowy government conspiracy.
There's an upside to the transgender character. She's got an awesome girlfriend.
Her girlfriend,
Absolutely. who happens to be, it Martha?
Martha Jones, played by Frieda Agyeman.
Star-studded
cast. One of the companions on Doctor Who. Very good. Seriously, star-studded cast. Really, really good.
Go on then. If you had to rate it out of 10, what would you give it?
I would go for a 10.
Would you? That good?
I would go for a 10, because there's definitely going to be another series. So, for Netflix to sort of commit to that, it's great. The Wachowskis have a great pedigree behind them. And, I think this is going to be one of those slow burners, and word is going to creep out slowly. But, of course, not so slowly now, because we're talking about it. So, everybody is going to be watching this and talking about it within a very short space of time.
And it's also recorded in 4K as well.
With a 4K TV.
No. Netflix are doing 4K output as
PC
well.
PC World's got one.
If you can afford a 4K telly, you can definitely afford your Netflix monthly Netflix contribution.
We might just camp out in PC World.
Although I should point out, because the reason I'm not on there yet is because we're doing the trials of them to see which one we like. We're trialing Amazon Prime at the moment at home, and Transparent's on there.
I watched it
with my free month.
They released it free for a certain amount of time. I think it was after it won a Golden Globe, and they put it out for free, even if you weren't an Amazon Prime member, you could watch it.
That
for
was
a
how
week.
I saw the first one. Yeah.
And they put it all out.
Certainly, the pilot was free from the outset, wasn't it?
It was.
But very, very, very good. I think I'm on about episode three, which is hilarious. It's two or three, anyway. It's when he first comes as his new persona as a she.
Yeah.
And walks in on his daughter having a rather debaucherous time with her friend, lesbian friend from school.
It's true, actually, and there's quite a lot of that action going on in Transparent as well. Absolutely.
I don't know, perhaps it's just because they're not on real TV, they can get away with it, isn't it? And I apologise if I got some of the PC bit wrong there. I never quite know what to say. We've talked about this before, haven't we?
We have, but it's very difficult, even being transgendered. Can't keep pace, and some terms I just don't agree with anyway.
You get them when you go. You see, I don't particularly like the term queer, but that's just my personal opinion. You know,
that used to be a bit of a slur, though. That's the thing.
I remember having it shouted at me in a bad way. So anyway, we're digressing. We're talking about TV. They're both really good services. Do check them out, please. If you are going to check them out, I can't say it enough. Make sure you read the terms and conditions, because if you do the trial and you don't want to pay, you do need to make sure you cancel before the trial finishes.
It's easy to cancel. You don't have to phone up. You can do it online.
So it's quite cool. We've got the dongle you shove in the back of the TV, so you don't even need special stuff to watch it, which is quite cool.
I can't get anything in my TV. It's flat against a wall. Oh, well. I tell you, need to be a limbo dancer to get up there, I tell you.
That's going to get... You've got yours above the fireplace, haven't you?
I have, yes.
Yeah, we've got ours above the fireplace.
Have you been stalking me?
Stalking.
Now, anyway, we're going in a minute, but I need to point out once again, After Dark is... No, not yet. Wait for your jingle, you. After Dark is coming up at midnight if you're listening live on BCFM or Pirate Nation Radio. I know we're going out on Pirate Nation Radio. I don't know exactly what time, but for After Dark I'm talking about. But we're repeating the first one tonight. Next week it will be the midnight slot. It's going to be Shout Out After Dark, the new one, which is all on Pride, and of course the film review which we did of what was it called, Ivan?
Do you know, it was a Patrick Stewart movie,
Patrick
wasn't
Stewart.
It? Patrick Stewart playing a dancer / instructor. And you know what?
Showed at Queer Vision, didn't
it? Yes, it's fantastic. Match. Yes, Match, that's it. Thank you.
Really, really
your
good film.
Yeah,
it was
Andy.
Great.
Yeah, no, it's because I'm looking at my lines for the end
Cheat.
Can I very quickly mention Channel 4's new series starting next week, My Transgender Kid?
We already have.
Oh, you've mentioned that already. Yeah. Sorry.
Steph is all over that.
It's on Channel 4, is it? I thought we said BBC.
Channel 4.
That's great. Another reminder about my transgender kid.
Yeah. Yes, I know. But
it's
family. It's not
7-year-old kid. No.
No.
Two families, 7-year-old kid.
I can tell you. Don't tell me if I'm asking for the audience, not me. No.
I've already seen some very heated debates on social media about it as well.
Have
actually.
You?
Very heated indeed from, you know, both sides of, I guess, if there is an argument about it. So
already?
Very heated, yeah. And the thing is,
even.
Exactly. It's a little bit, you know, like with Stonewall.
Oh, that was a bit like Stonewall.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. But
I'm looking forward to seeing Stonewall.
Well, everybody was right about that.
So, were they?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Okay, well, go see it yourself before you make an opinion. That was my advice. But that's it for this week. Join us at midnight, as I said, next week for our first After Dark. Or, of course, you can catch a rebroadcast this evening.
If you've already caught it, well, the next After Dark broadcast next week at midnight on BCFM, when we find out about Prides and their history.
If you want to find out more about us or After Dark in particular, go to shoutoutradio.org.uk and then put /After Dark if you want to find out about After Dark. But for myself and the team, we will catch you next week. Say bye-bye, everyone.
Bye-bye, everyone.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.